What's up, everyone? You're listening to Sincerely Angie Podcast, and I'm your host, Angie. Thank you so much for tuning in, and welcome to my little gumbo pot. Please be sure to rate and subscribe wherever available, and don't forget that you can download any of your favorite episodes for offline listening. You can always find any information needed on today's episode in the show notes. And for further info, such as social media handles like Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, you can visit SincerelyAngieM.com. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Angie, and I just finished listening to the episode that you are about to hear shortly. I recorded it yesterday, and I was about to start editing it because I was not sure if it was going to come out or not, but I heard Megan Thee Stallion recently come out and say how she was trying to protect Tory and not revealed that he was the one who shot her. And then there was a whole bunch of posts about how black women tend to protect men in situations where they really should not have. And then I also heard Charlamagne on the radio today, and he was talking about, he said that you can't heal what you don't reveal. And so that kind of tugged at me. And like I said, I didn't think I was going to put this episode out, but hearing those two things and reading a lot of the posts about how we are always, we as black women are always protecting the man or the men. And I felt compelled that I'm going to have to put this out there so that I can heal, because you will hear in this particular episode that I am obviously not healed from this situation. When you listen to it, you will hear the progression in my voice. The emotions are, they're still fresh. You can tell that basically by everything that I said, that I am still not healed from it. So this is pushing me to share it because I'm not healed. And if it is true that you can't heal what you don't reveal, then I need to get this off of me. I need to share this. I need one person to hear it and understand and change their ways. And it's probably an accumulation of just everything that's going on with the world or things that just may have happened to me that is just kind of like, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for this episode. I'm going to leave it as raw as it is. And I'm not going to make any excuses for anyone who I know personally who is listening to this and they may feel some type of way because I am sharing it on my platform. I need to heal. Again, when I listen to it, I realize that it's still fresh on my mind and it's still fresh on my heart, and hearing everything that's going on in the world with black women and just women in general and us having to be strong. How strong can I be if I am sitting on a secret that is undoubtedly hurting me? So, yeah, I need to heal. And it is what it is, y'all. This is my story. So here's my story time. Dear story time number 3. So a couple of weeks ago, I told you all that there was a story time that I wanted to record. Well, this is not that particular story time. So for the last couple of weeks, there has been some things that have been kind of like hitting home and weighing heavily on me. So I feel like it is necessary for me to speak on this particular thing. I really don't know if I am going to keep this audio and actually upload it, but I am recording it as if I am. So we shall see what happens. So in the last couple of weeks, I watched the HBO show called I May Destroy You with Michaela Cole. And it airs on HBO and Hulu. The episodes are about 30 minutes each. And the show is basically centered around the girl, Michaela Cole. She plays herself, and she's also like the producer or something like that. The director, writer, I'm not sure. But she also was in the series Chewing Gum. But in I May Destroy You, she gets drunk one night after she goes out with her friends.
And she wakes up the next day and she does not know what happened to her. Like, she has a scar on her head. She doesn't remember anything. She doesn't know how she got home. She doesn't remember anything. And she does start to remember that she had been sexually assaulted or raped. And so when she starts to ask her friends, you know, like, what happened to me? How did I get home? And she's trying to retrace her steps, just trying to see why she doesn't remember anything. She's like, somebody must have slipped me a Mickey, basically, or slipped something in her drink. So she goes throughout her day just trying to figure out what happened to her because, I mean, if you had a scar on your head, you had been sexually assaulted, you would try and remember as well. So a situation that happened in the show is a few days later, she ends up meeting up with a dude that she knew and she had sex with him. And in the midst of them having sex, he took off the condom. After she finishes having sex with him, she sees the condom on the floor and she's like, dude, what the fudge? Like, when did you take the condom off? And he's like, oh, you couldn't tell? I thought you could feel it. I took it off, you know, when, you know, you can't feel that. And so she's like, no, dude, what the F? Now we have to go and get a plan B and you're going to pay for it. So they go to the store, get the plan B. And then later on that day or the next day, she's listening to a podcast. And on Reddit, there's this forum or this thread where it'll have different sayings that males would say after sex. And, oh, you couldn't feel it. You couldn't tell that I took it off was one of them. And that is a form of sexual assault where you are taking off a condom and not letting your partner know that you're taking off the condom. That is a violation. And so she started replaying the conversation that he and her had. And she's like, are you serious? Like, she could not believe that that was a thing. And a lot of us ladies have been there before where a guy will say something after and you're like, what? And then you may hear from somebody else and it's like, oh, so this is y'all scapegoat. Like, this y'all play dumb. Okay, cool. So another situation that happened in the show was that there was a gay character, a male gay character who was having sex with a man. And after they finished having sex and the guy was getting ready to go, he had his clothes on and everything. They both put their clothes on. The guy who came over actually took his clothes off again and then started having sex with the guy again. And he pinned him down and the dude was saying, no, like, what are you doing? And the guy just got even more aggressive and just, he basically raped the dude. So this guy throughout the show, he's battling. Should I report this? Like, what? I feel violated. Like, he's scarred right now. And so he's going through a phase of like not, he's being standoffish. He's not talking to anybody because all he can think about is what happened to him and how violated he felt. So he eventually goes to the police department to try and report it. And the male detective is just giving him a hard time. Like, oh, didn't you have consensual sex with him? And well, why did you this? And why, you know, it just was a situation. So the dude was like, you know what? F it. And he walked out. And then the situation with Trey Songz happened. And with the two white ladies that came forward and said that he was aggressive or sexually aggressive, something like that. I think he urinated on one of them and he was just kind of forceful, so to speak. I don't think that they necessarily said that there was a rape as far as intercourse goes, but that he was sexually aggressive. So then clips started to resurface of when Keke Palmer was on the Breakfast Club and she was telling them that Trey Songz was pretty aggressive on the video shoot, that she did not want to be nude or naked or whatever the case was. And no one believed her. They basically vilified her instead of treating her like the victim that she was in that situation. So those things happen. And then the last situation that happened that kind of led me to say, you know what? I probably need to tell my story. Again, I don't know if this footage is going to even come out, but I am going to tell my story because I feel like I'm still not healed. And 5 days, it'll be 3 years since my situation happened. Or 4 days, I think it's 4 days. So with it being coming up a 3-year mark and then all of these things I'm seeing about women being violated or women not being believed or women just not getting the respect that they deserve, it is very frustrating. So A guy that I have been knowing for well over 20 years, who I used to see on a daily basis, he and I were really cool. We, in our 20-year tenure, we may have had sex about 4 times. And we would always drink together, play games, just have real, just genuine fun, or at least I thought. So there was one night 3 years ago where he came over, we had daiquiris, and we were clowning around, and I got tipsy. Like, I got lit, and we walked to the door so that I could send him off on his way, like, to say goodbye, basically. And I remember us kissing, like, you know, mwah, like kissing, you know, just like the little peck before you send someone off on their way. And then I remember him walking me to the bedroom, and then putting me on the bed, and then starting to take my clothes off. And then I remember him trying to, I could envision him, you know, getting ready to pull out his penis. So I'm telling him stop, and I'm telling him no, because again, in our 20-year friendship or whatever it was, we never, sex was not our thing. Only 4 times in over 20 years. So it's like, maybe once every 5 years it may happen. It was not often. But he continued to go there, even though I was saying stop and I was saying no. I'm like, that's not even our relationship. In my mind, this is what I'm saying, but I'm under the influence. So I remember just pushing him back and telling him no and telling him stop. And then he kept going. And then I remember him going to get a towel, wiping me off, wiping himself off, and then leaving. And when I woke up the next day, I text him like, dude, what the fudge? And he was like, what, you know? And I'm like, what happened? And he's like, you don't remember? And I'm like, no. He said, okay, I'll call you later. We'll talk about it. He didn't call me later, but I think he called me like 2 or 3 days later and we talked. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, what? And he was like, you were a little bit more intoxicated than I was. I'm like, obviously, like, what happened? And so he said that it was a kiss that led to what happened. And I'm like, but you and I never, that's not what we do. That's not our relationship. We've always been cool, but sex has never been a thing. And every time you used to try, I would stop you. So why would you think that that's the perfect time to try and do that? And he was like, I kept asking you, are you sure? Are you sure? And I'm like, but if I'm telling you multiple times to stop, why would you have to keep asking me if I'm sure? That just make it make sense. And so after we got off the phone, I just was like, you know what? That I still don't have answers. He basically blamed the kiss for the reason why he did what he did. Like, the kiss was the determining factor that said, yes, I wanted to have sex. But if my mouth is saying no, and if I'm saying stop, why would a kiss overrule or override that? So I didn't talk to him again until he texted me happy birthday a couple of months later. And I replied, thank you. And I don't know why I replied, thank you. It wasn't even my birthday. He was a day early. It was not even my birthday. Although I celebrate the whole month, it was not my actual birthday. And I haven't talked to him since then, since he texted me about 6 months after the incident. And that's almost 2.5 years ago since talking to him. But it's been 3 years since the incident in a few days. I did not tell anybody what happened to me right away, except for one person. And the one person I told that person out of, like, you're the closest person to me. I want you to know what happened to me. And months later, then I eventually got the courage to tell my friends, because based on the response that I got from the person that I told, I knew that if I told anybody else, I would get that same response. And I didn't believe that it was necessary, because it was not my fault. It was not, if I said no, no should have been the end all be all. It should have been the end of the topic. It should have been the end of the incident. It should have never escalated. But my no wasn't enough. In the moment, that dude that I had been knowing for over 20 years, who I used to see on almost a daily basis, did not respect me nor our friendship enough to stop when I asked him to stop. He did not respect me or our friendship enough to not take advantage of me while I was intoxicated or under the influence. Me being under the influence makes me very vulnerable. Anybody being under the influence makes you vulnerable. It's not an invitation to say, oh, let me go ahead on and try because I know that her resistance is down, so she's not a she's not gonna put up much of a fight. Who would want to have sex with someone who's not coherent, who is not in the right state of mind or the right mind frame to not be coerced into doing something that they didn't want to do? There is absolutely no excuse for having sex with someone who is not in their right state of mind. That makes you a rapist. That makes you a sexual predator. That makes you someone who has violated someone. That makes you someone who has taken advantage of someone. The reason why, like I said, the reason why I didn't tell my friends is because I knew questions were going to come out, like I said, where it's like, well, why did you have him by your house and why were y'all drinking? This was something we had done for the last 15 to 20 years. We've always played games, had drinks, watched movies on a nightly basis, you know, like maybe weekly or every other week or monthly or something like that. This was not somebody who I had just met. This is someone who I had known for over 20 years. I trusted this person. I had love for this person. It's not like he was a stranger. This was somebody I knew and who I trusted. So of course I'm going to drink with him because that's what we've done. But after that incident, it's almost as if I have to replay in my mind, did he do this to me every single time I would drink? Like, now I just don't trust anything that happened between us over the 20 years, because it's like, if you did this to me now, imagine what you may have done then. Like, in that moment, the only thing he was worried about was getting his rocks off, busting one. The pink area, soft, warm spot, he just wanted to get in, bust his nut, and get out. Nothing else mattered to him in that moment. He was sober enough to know that that's what he wanted, and that's what he got. And you know how if someone breaks into your car or your house and you feel violated? Well, this violation is like 10 times worse that you feel when they've done it to your body. The violation is just elevated. I was ashamed. I blamed myself. And I knew that I should not have blamed myself. But it's like, you're right. I should not have had him in at a certain hour. Not that that certain hour was going to stop anything, because if he was going to do something at 10, he would have done it. I mean, if he was going to do something at 2 a.m., he would have done it at 10 p.m. So I don't think that the hour mattered. I think that this was somebody who wanted something and he was not going to stop until he got it. Did he pin me down and force me? Did I kick, scream? And no, I did not. When I replayed it in my mind from the parts that I remember, I was laying down and I was pushing him away and tightening up my legs. But he was still wiggling my pants off and still prying my legs apart to kind of get in position. And as I'm pushing him away and telling him no, he's constantly going. He kept going. He just kept going. And I'm like, no, why is this happening to me? And I'm telling him no. And then I hear him asking me, Do you want me to stop? And I'm like, yes. And he never stopped. The thing about it is, I want men, the majority of the people who listen to my podcast are men. My percentage of men who listen is much higher than women. I need for you all to hear me and hear me well. If a woman says no, stop, or please stop, no, I don't want to do this, that is not an invitation to keep going. You need to take the safest route and stop. That's the safest thing to do. Did I report my incident? No, I did not. Because you know what I did? I did not, because I knew him for so long, I did not want to label him as a rapist. I did not want to label the scenario as a rape situation. I just kept saying he took advantage of me. When in all actuality, he did rape me. He did violate me. He did take advantage of me. But me being like, no, I know him. He wouldn't, that, you know, no, it wasn't rape. It was just he just violated me. He just took advantage of me. No, I told him no, and he continued to go. No should mean no. Stop should mean stop. There's no two ways around it. Men have been in positions of power for a while, meaning strength-wise. So there's not much that I could have done, especially being under the influence, to get him off of me. I am not advocating for violence or anything, but women listening to this podcast, if you are ever in a position and you feel uncomfortable, you feel like, you know what, no, I don't want to do this, You should do what you need to do to get out of that situation. I should have. Had I had the strength, I would have. Because that was never our relationship. I remember a while back, there was a guy that I was dealing with for about 2 years. And he and I, of course, we did have sex. And he would wrestle with me all the time. And he would tell me that wrestle was my foreplay. And I would tell him, if I'm telling you no, I don't want to have sex, I mean no, I don't want to have sex. And he was like, nah, you like it. You like wrestling. And I said, listen to me to what I'm telling you. I don't like it. He was like, that's foreplay for you. You like that. You like that. And I could not understand in my mind why I was going back and forth with somebody about something I'm clearly telling you that I don't like. If I'm clearly telling you I don't like this particular thing, why are you in your mind and out of your mouth, you're trying to convince me otherwise? I'm telling you I don't like this. I'm telling you this is not foreplay for me. But yet you and your ego are still telling me, yes, it is. You like that. Why does everything have to be so sexual with people? I'm not saying all men, just with some of them. Why is everything so sexual and everything a woman is suppressing how she truly feels? If she's telling you no, she's telling you no because she doesn't want to do it. Now, there are some people who do mislead men or mislead people. But if a woman is clearly telling you no, stop making it up in your head that she's saying yes. She is not. And women, you have the right. Men, listen to this. Women, in the midst of having sex, if you feel uncomfortable or you feel like you want to stop or you feel like this is any type of violation to you and what you feel, say something. You have a right to stop in the middle of whatever situation you are in. Men as well. If you feel like you want to stop, you can stop. You don't have to keep going. I don't care if your dick hard, your dick is wet, your dick is throbbing, or you got blue balls, or you're going to get blue balls. You need to go in the bathroom and release yourself. That's not my problem. If I'm telling you to stop, you need to stop. I can change my mind at any given time. Yes, there are women who mislead and who give mixed signals because they do like that type of foreplay, type of role playing thing. Not every woman likes that. You have to get a specific person and they'll tell you that that's what they like. But on a regular day, on a regular basis, not every woman wants you to be aggressive with her. Not everyone wants that. But I guess it all comes down to having conversations with who you are having sex with and finding out what they like and what they don't like. Unfortunately for me, that was not my situation with this person. We didn't have conversations on beforehand of saying, what do you like? Do you like this? And do you like that? We did not. But when I'm telling you after the fact, hey, look, I don't like that. And if I say no, I mean no. That's not something that I'm interested in. I'm not interested in role playing. I'm not interested in giving you some type of hard on because you think that I'm rejecting you or what. I don't even know why or how a mind thinks that is something that is okay. Again, I don't even know if this is going to air. I'm really just talking and getting my frustrations out because as I'm seeing the Trey Songz thing and then as I'm seeing the Megan Stallion thing and then especially watching I May Destroy You, everything they hit on in that movie has happened to somebody before. Art imitates life. It is not fake news. I can promise you. I could relate to so many things that she experienced that night and it's like, wow. Like, and even a guy situation where they experience certain things and you feel like, oh, I don't want to tell somebody because they're going to blame it on me. I went through that. I didn't tell people for months. And then when I did tell them, I was already at that time, I was strong enough to be able to handle their questions because I already knew what the first questions were going to be. Why was he there at this time? Why didn't you do this? And why didn't you do that? Why is it my fault? Why when I told him no, he didn't stop? Why are you not blaming him? Why are you not acknowledging the wrong that he did? And especially trying to have this conversation with men, there may have been one guy who was compassionate when I told him what happened. But the other people that I told is like, why this? And why didn't you do this? And it's like, why am I the person who was at fault here? And why aren't y'all blaming him and saying that what he did was wrong? Well, what he did was wrong, but why didn't you? Why didn't I what? What more could I have done but say no? Do you want me to pull out a gun that I don't have and shoot him to get him off of me? Like, what more can I do as a person? What more? Especially being under the influence. What more? I barely remembered what happened to that night. I had to just kind of like the movie or like the TV show. I had to put pieces and bits together that were coming to me. I looked to my right when I got out of bed and I saw the clothes on the floor and I remembered him standing there trying to take my clothes off. Like that outfit, I can't even wear that outfit anymore. I didn't throw it away. I still have it, but I can't even wear it anymore. I thought about it every day for months. Every day, that situation. Like, I felt so betrayed. I was so hurt. I just felt violated. And I thought about it every day for months. It didn't go away. Every day for months. And when I tell you, when I did finally get the balls to start telling people about it, I felt okay on the inside. I felt like, you know what? I've beat myself up enough to know that this was not my fault. So nothing anyone else can say can hurt me. And I feel like that's the strength that I needed. And I had to go through that to get to where I'm at now. But because it's August now and it's about to be 3 years since this happened, I still didn't forget about it. It's something that still happens to come up in my thoughts on a regular basis. It's not daily. But if I see something that makes me think about him, or if I see an old picture that I had that outfit on in, or if I see a certain liquor or something, all of those things come back to my mind and I think about that. And it's like, I still can't believe it happened to me. You hear stories of people who were molested when they were younger, or who may have been under the influence and had sex with somebody or didn't remember, but you never think it's going to happen to you. And when it does happen to you, you have a little bit more understanding on how other people felt. And for me, for the life of me, I can't understand why men in their heads, it just becomes tunnel vision when it's time to have sex or when there's an opportunity to have sex. And I don't even know if this is still a story time now. I don't know. I'm so frustrated now that I'm thinking about it and I'm talking about it. I feel so frustrated. I feel angry, and all of those emotions are coming back to me. When I started this podcast off, I was talking real calm and real chill. At least I think I was. And now, like, my arms are flailing and, like, I feel hot. I feel warm, like, by my face and my ears and stuff. I'm frustrated that this is still affecting me, that it's still a thing, that even when I talk to men and I'm telling them what it is, they're making excuses for the other man. And it's like, no, there is never a time, there is never a point when this is okay. Don't make excuses for a man violating a woman. There should be no excuse. And the same people who say, oh, I would never do that, and if no means no, and I'm not going to approach a situation where if a woman is even unsure about it, I'm not going to do it. And those are the same people who will get into the situation and still do it. You've heard stories about how it has hurt other people. You have wives, you have daughters, you have girlfriends, or whatever the case, and you'll still do it to somebody else. That's not okay. It's not okay. As a human being, you have to think, if I was a woman and someone forced themselves upon me, how would I feel? I know that's a bit much asking a man to think that way, because they just can't see. They don't even see the fault in another male doing it. So, of course, they're not going to put themselves in a woman's shoe and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't do this. Because you know what? All that matters at that moment is getting their rocks off, busting a nut. That's all that matters. And I'm not bashing all men, but I am frustrated. I am bashing all men. Not all men. I'm bashing men. I'm not going to say all. But I am bashing men, because it's never okay. And I don't know who. And this dates back for years. Like, this is not even something that is new to us. Men have been violating women for years. Under the influence, sober, whatever the case may be, they have violated for years. But it has to stop. It literally has to stop. It's not okay. And I know that I'm going to have to talk this out with somebody. I know talking about it on the podcast is not just going to heal me or anything like that. But I can tell that I'm still highly upset about it. I'm still hurt by it. I feel like I have not gotten the closure that I needed. I didn't get a full story on what happened. I didn't get an apology. I didn't get anything. So I feel like that hurt is going to still be there. Not that I need an apology, but something that would have said, you know what, I fucked up. I was wrong. I didn't get that. And I doubt that he ever will say that. After we talked on the phone, when he told me the story, he texted and he said, we need to talk again. He said, it feels awkward. And I was like, no shit. Like, yeah. Like, because you getting on the phone and saying it was a kiss. What? What about everything that I've told you over the years? You were sober enough to know that, oh, I can put her in bed and I can take her clothes off and do this. But you weren't sober enough to say, you know what? Let me not violate my friend like this. Let me not violate somebody who I love and I care about. Let me not do that. And even after not talking to him after the last time we talked for even years, you would think that he would call and say, hey, what's up? And are you okay? Are you still mad? Or what can I do? The 20 plus year friendship meant nothing but a nut. All of that for a nut. You know what? I don't know. I'm getting frustrated. And I am going to stop talking now. I'm going to just say to any man or woman listening to this podcast, I don't know. I just hear past my anger, hear past my frustration, and hear what I'm trying to say about the hurt that I feel about the violation that occurred to me 3 years ago in a few days. Men, if you can help it, not if you can help it, force yourself to help it. Get over that need to just have sex. Like, I know that men are very sexual creatures. I know that. But that is not an excuse, man. It is not an excuse to violate somebody after they've told you no, after they've told you stop. Like, why would you do that? Seriously. I don't even think I'm going to upload this. I feel like I'm all over the place. I can't. But how will I ever heal if I don't want to acknowledge what happened to me? Again, like I said, I kept trying to downplay it, like, you know, no, it wasn't. He just took advantage of me. But I was vulnerable. And anybody who would take advantage of you when you're vulnerable, that's not somebody you need to protect. That's not somebody you need to cover up for. My alarm went off, y'all. Sorry. I guess that's my cue to calm down, to get off of here and to now feel my feelings, because I'm feeling some type of way. And before I get out here and put out any more negative energy, if this does comes out, I would much rather just go ahead on and end it here. And yeah, y'all. So...